Passage this morning is 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 10. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort, and with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. God's Word. We're going to spend our focus on a portion of one verse this morning, 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. I came across this verse a couple of weeks ago and decided to preach on it after reading an article by a young man named Marco Bovino. He was working with John MacArthur's church in Southern California. And the title of his article was "The Most Terrifying Verse in the Bible." It caught my attention. And as a pastor who has to preach every week, I said, "Now that'll preach." And I read the article and I went, "Oh my, oh my, oh my." And I'm taking a little different track than what Marco took. But I did agree with him in that it's a verse that's usually quickly passed over because most Bible readers, most of us included, by the time we get to the end of 2 Timothy, we've read 1 Timothy, we're reading 2 Timothy, we're getting to the end of chapter 4, which is the last chapter in 2 Timothy. We're hurrying to get to the end of our Bible reading for the day, and we kind of pass over verse 10 really quickly. But if you take the time to consider its content and contemplate its application, you need medication. It can be quite terrifying. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. So first, let's consider, who is this man named Demas? Well, he was a fellow worker of the Apostle Paul. He's only mentioned three times in the Bible, our current verse in 2 Timothy 4, and then also in Colossians 4, and then in the book of Philemon, which only has one chapter. In Colossians 4:14, it just says, "Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas." So Demas sends his greetings along with Luke as Paul is writing to the church in Colossae. And then in Philemon, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings, and so does Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." So he's a fellow worker of Paul. while not being well known to us, he certainly wasn't a nobody in the gospel circles of his day. Just to be mentioned alongside Luke and Mark, I mean, these guys are gospel writers. The Holy Spirit used these men and is using these men 2,000 years later because they've written books that have their names in the titles that share the good news of Christ. However, Demas will be remembered for being in love with this present world and therefore deserting Paul and his ministry. One theologian named Stark said this: how many brothers Demas has who love the world better than God? Oh, maybe that's why it's the terrifying verse. Our second point is, exposing and confronting the love of this world was common New Testament teaching. You find it everywhere once you stop and look. We heard this just a few weeks ago when we looked at the parables of the soils, or the parable of the sower. In Luke 8:14, we are reminded in Jesus' teaching, as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but they go on their way. As they do this, they're choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. In other words, when the seed of God's word comes, the cares of the world, they love the world more than they love the things of God's kingdom. And then there's Paul in Romans 12, contrasting the world with its which desires conformity, and the kingdom of God, which offers transformation. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then there's the Apostle John, who just comes right out and just says it blatantly, right in our face. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He doesn't beat around the bush, does he? For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. You read that and you go, man, who can even be saved? See, Jesus came and proclaimed God's alternative. If we seek after Him, then the things that we need in the world, the things that are part of the world we live in, the necessary things that are in the world, food, shelter, clothing, and other things, automobiles, jobs. You know, there's a number of other things we could add to this list. If we seek after Him, He promises to provide all these things. We can then set our affections on Him and not on the world or the things of this world. We get into trouble when we set our affections and our heart on all the things we need, and when we love them and pursue them, we do that at the expense of loving Him. And that's why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, food, clothing, shelter, the things which the Gentiles seek, will be added to you. So how do we combat the love of the world that we all find some of it is in us. I don't know of anybody in this world, in this life, that doesn't wrestle with it to some extent. The Preaching the Word commentary said Paul's assessment that Demas was in love with this present world does not make him a villain, but merely a man so much like us who came in disgrace by a well-worn path. Demas did not want to lose his Christianity, but it hurt to keep it. So what I want to do is take a quick look at some of the teachings in 2 Timothy that can help. Most of these are Paul's instructions to Timothy, but I think the application for us can be made very easily. And I started with 25 of them. And I said, no, that's way too many. Like Dave Galbraith, who's sitting back there, wrote me a text the other day, says he's a guy, he preached for years. He goes, I believe in 3 points. And I did 7 in a sermon a few weeks ago, and he goes, I'll let you get by with 7. Well, I went from 25 to 17, and then I think I ended up with 10 this morning. So I apologize in advance, Dave. But these are things, the way that I was thinking, we're all got a little bit, we all have an inner Demas here that struggles with the love for this world. And as I presented this verse to our elders at the session meeting last week, one of our elders pointed out that the love for this world, the word love is the word agape. We were taught for years, weren't we, that agape was the God kind of love? Weren't we all taught that? And we only use that for the special kind of love that we have, that when we have for God. And here it is, using agape for Demas, loving this present world or this present age. So if we're consistent, he had a very strong love for this age, for this culture, for this world, for this life that surrounded him, for the things of the world and the things, just look at it, the wisdom of this age, which over and over and over, Scripture tells us, no, no, no. So my thinking here was, well, let's look at the Bible book that Demas is mentioned in here in 2 Timothy. And if Demas was to read 2 Timothy, what could he gain from 2 Timothy that would help him to turn away from his love for the world and embrace the kingdom of God more fully? So I'm going to go through these really quick. And that's why I put it out on Realm for everybody this week. Normally I just put it out to about 25 people who are signed up for that, but I put it out to the whole church today. And if you want all of the ones I had, you'll have to email me, and I'll send it to you. Number one, believe and embrace the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. And you find this in the very first verse of 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. If you are in love with this present age or this present world, you have forgotten the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. As you examine your own heart and you find out that you're in love with this present age, I want to call you back to the promise of the gospel, the promise of a kingdom that is yet to be here in its fullness. It is here, but not fully here. But it will be in its fullness. And it is life in Christ Jesus. Number two, remember just what kind of spirit you have received. I think Demas had forgotten, if he in fact had received it at all. I don't know. I don't know whether he came back later. You know, Mark had deserted Paul in his gospel venture. But we have proof from the scripture that Mark returned and came back later. We don't know about Demas. We only have him listed three times here. But we do know what kind of spirit Mark received, or Timothy had received, in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Was it fear of gospel ministry? Was it fear of persecution? Was it fear of losing friends? Was it fear of other things that caused Demas to live out his passion and love and care for the world as opposed to the kingdom of God? We don't know. It doesn't tell us the ingredients of his falling away. Number three, remember that salvation is by grace through faith, not by works, lest you wear yourself out trying to earn it. Second Timothy 1:9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. If Demas was not saved by grace, then it is very likely he was trying to merit his way into the good graces of God. And you cannot go very far down that road before you hang it all up. Because you will wear yourself out. You will become exhausted. You'll become frustrated. Because it's all of grace. Number four, be strengthened by grace as you are involved in discipleship relationships. 2 Timothy 2:1-2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's what the church is to be about. That's why it's so hard. That's the mission of the church, to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that Jesus has commanded. Baptizing them, going to the nations and doing this. Maybe Demas forgot this. I hope we don't forget that. We forget it at our own peril. Here's an interesting one, number five. Live the soldier's lifestyle. Now, okay, this is Paul talking to Timothy, a fellow minister of the gospel. We need to put this in the context and the proper application. But there's something to be learned from this just by being a regular Christian as well. He says in 2 Timothy 2:3-4, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Now, I want to say this in order to clarify, especially in our contemporary environment, some of which I prayed about in the pastoral prayer. The Christian church is not called to be armed with guns and ammo in order to fulfill the Great Commission. That's not what it means to be soldiers in Christ. Now, what a person or a family does for their own protection of their home, that's a different matter. Everybody's got to do what they think they need to do. And there's freedom to do that in our country. But in order to fulfill the mission of the church which God gave us, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh or are not carnal, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. See, the battle is fought in the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm when it comes to the Great Commission. Very important to remember that. Number 6, preach the gospel to yourself every day. 2 Timothy 2:8, remember Christ Jesus risen from the dead, the offspring of David as preached in my gospel. I always wondered, why did Timothy, a minister of the gospel, have to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead? Aren't they just supposed to like know that? Isn't he like a pastor? Isn't that like a given? No. You can forget that every day. You can go about and do your work. You can fill out your checklist. You can forget mercy. You can forget generosity. You can forget that you're indwelt by the Spirit. You can forget that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You can live like you're living by the law and everybody else is living by the law. You can forget that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. You can live a gospel-less existence in a heartbeat. Do you think Demas could have done that? We certainly could. Number 7, pursue and cultivate the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It takes intentionality. I mean, God's at work. I mean, God's going to do what He's going to do, right? But from our side of the equation, it's not going to happen without God involving us, desiring it and wanting it. Listen to what he tells Timothy to do in 2 Timothy 2:22 through 25. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. As the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Some of the Christian arguments on social media, they need to pursue and cultivate the fruit of the Holy Spirit instead of ripping each other to shreds. And then number 8, do not be surprised when things become difficult. Do you think that may have caught Demas by surprise? That, man, it's just tough every week, week after week after week after week. It's just hard. Why is there so much opposition? Why is Paul getting whipped? 2 Timothy 3:1, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Are we going to be ready when difficulty comes? Do you think it's coming? Have you watched the news lately? Maybe things are going to calm down this time. Maybe not. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. when times of difficulty come, it does not produce benefits to be in love with this present age, because everything you're depending on will crumble and come to nothing. There's only one thing that will stand. Number 9, prioritize the Bible. Look at what he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. We know part of this, very famous couple of verses, but listen to what the lead-in is. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy didn't have a New Testament. He had Genesis and Psalms and Jeremiah and Micah and Malachi. And they made him wise for salvation when the gospel came to him. And then it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Prioritize the Bible. And then the last one, love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. There's two appearings of Christ for us. His first one, when he came, and his second one, when he's going to come. That's why we read those two questions from the Westminster Larger Catechism of what's going to happen to the wicked on the judgment day and what's going to happen to the righteous on the judgment day. That's what's going to happen when he comes back. And it's a day that we're going to love. Let me finish with two final thoughts. The first one's point 4. Paul was forsaken by Demas, but not by Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. No matter what happens, good, bad, or ugly, Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a great promise to have. And then number 5, Jesus is greater than all the world has to offer. Everything. Just Jesus himself being with you is greater than all the world has to offer. John 16:33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And 1 John 5:4, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And it begins by simply believing in him and trusting in him that he is the King of the kingdom. If you haven't put your trust in him today, we sang, this is the day. Today is the day of salvation. If you haven't put your trust and your faith in him today, put your trust in Him today. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved today. It's time to pray. Let me invite our four elders up, and let's pray together.